Okay. But yeah, like I was saying, the Lord gave me this a few weeks ago. And because of all the issues that we've been having, we haven't been able to really do fellowship. We had an impromptu one last week, I think, because the internet went down. And it's weird, just when we were about to partake in the communion, everything went, well, just, it turns out it was the router. And then there were other issues where I couldn't get into the server because the work I was doing earlier in the week, I gave access to one of the tech guys and forgot that I built an account in there, which then prevented me from coming in unless I had the password, which after a couple of moments of prayer, the Lord reminded me of the password because I didn't write it down. I just made a quick password. And so I was able to get in and fix that. But like I was saying, a few weeks ago, what I'm about to share is actually next in line to what I wanted to share in fellowship. And it's from the Review and Herald, March 22nd, 1892. You can also find it in selected messages, but let me, and it just coincides perfectly with Pastor Elvin's Be Holy message today. And that's how it'll be listed in, you know, like it says the Lord's Supper on our sermon page and underneath it, it'll say Be Holy. So, yeah, amen to that, Brother Matthew. Yeah, it's turning out to be, Fred and I were talking about it, you know, the enemy's trying to get us upset. And this is actually a blessing because, you know, that wolf doesn't bark and snarl unless you're yanking on his tail. And so what we're doing is angering him, and that's, praise God. And like what Pastor Elvin was saying after we finally got back online, that's exactly why, you know, he's trying to prevent us. I mean, think about it. Last week, we were going to do communion, and we couldn't because it all went down. And then turns out the router died. And then so we ended up getting a brand new router with newer tech in it, which means now we've got twice the bandwidth. And so it just, everything worked out for the better. But right in the middle, right when we're getting ready, I'll call tech support, you know, tomorrow. These guys are 24/7. And so I'll call them tomorrow and ask them to take a look at the router from their end to make sure everything's good because we can't have this happening again. You know, it's just too annoying. But anyway, let me put this in the room. And I don't think it's going to fit. I'll just put it in paragraphs at a time, I guess, like usual. Amen to that, Brother Gilbert. Amen to that. And amen to Brother Dwayne. Yeah, because pretty soon we're not going to be able to be online. But we're all in one accord. All right, it says this. It is the duty of the people of God to have their lamps trimmed and burning, to be as men that wait for the bridegroom when he shall return from the wedding. You have not a moment to lose in neglect of the great salvation that has been provided for you. The time of the probation of souls is coming to an end. From day to day, the destiny of men is being sealed. And even from this congregation, we know not how soon many shall close their eyes in death and be habited for the tomb. We should now consider that our life is swiftly passing away. Now think about that. It is, regardless if you're young or old, our lives are swiftly passing away on this earth anyway, because the Lord's going to be here soon. We don't set dates, obviously, but we can know the season. And we know the prophecies, and we know what the Lord says happens during the plagues. And we see all that's what's going on in the world. You can see how plagues 1 through 7 are going to hit. Specifically, you know, the bloody waters, the boils, that'll, of course, be number one. That'll, of course, appear when it does. We got that circle of fire that goes around all the tectonic plates that kind of caused this Pangea to become all these different continents thousands of years ago, and so you got that ring of fire there. And but this thing with you know, the one world government and all that, and their plans for 2030, and then of course what Jesus said in the parable to the Good Samaritan about the Good Samaritan, and you know, with the 2 days meaning 2,000 years, and then of course those comets. And we know Plague 7 is hail, and that's comets. And they're all coming here between the years 29 and 31. And one of them is so massive they can't even measure it yet. And it all started with Comet Encke, E-N-C-K-E. That was the first one that showed up that it's going to be, you know, that at the very least, the tail will hit our planet in 2030. And they go, oh, that's not harmful. I said, really? There's a 20-mile chunk of ice in that tail. So, but again, we don't set dates. We're just looking at, because we don't know the day or the hour. And so our lives are passing away. And if it doesn't happen, well, then we might have a few more years, but I don't know. Again, we can't set dates. But the Pope did. He's demanding 2030 for his one world government, and we know what Plague 6 means, the last 15 days. We know that for a fact, and he ain't changed that date. He changed the date of his, you know, his desire to enforce the mark of the beast using climate change with religious laws. He changed that. He wanted to do that in 2027, or at least he stopped talking about it. He might still do it in 27. I'm thinking 28, because then 29 could bring on Plague 1, and then 30 is where you're going to see, because, you know, within a year, the plagues fall. So it could be late 29, early 30 when we're out of here. Who knows? We'll find out when all that goes down. But again, she says we should now consider that our life is swiftly passing away and that we are not safe one moment unless our life is hid with Christ and God. Our duty is not to be looking forward to some special time for some special work to be done for us. Because a lot of people think that way when you think about the latter rain. Well, I'm going to wait on the latter rain. It's the same kind of mindset that the enemy of souls is going to twist in our own heads if we allow him, like he did with the billions of Christians that thinks of a secret rapture. Yeah, we're not going to be here when it hits the fan, and so we're just going to be you know, raptured up. And then, you know, for those of us that are left behind, we'll have 7 years to get right with God. There ain't a prophecy from Genesis to Revelation to back that one up. As a matter of fact, I expose that by how they actually, the Vatican, the Jesuits, in fact, twisted the week of Daniel so as to make it look like a seven-year tribulation, so as to hide the fact that they did the Great Tribulation already. They got to hide that. And so there's a lot of people doing having the same mindset with the latter rain. They think, oh, when the latter rain comes, I'll get serious. No, you won't. You'll end up getting the boils because, you know, if you're not trying now, he knows he can't use you then. Like Pastor Alvin was saying earlier, we got to be holy now. It's no mistake that he wrote that sermon, and it's no mistake that the Lord gave me this 3 or 4 weeks ago to share today, although I wanted to share it probably 2 or 3 weeks ago because I always have stuff in advance. And so, but again, our duty is not to be looking forward to some special time for some special work to be done for us, but to go forward in our work of the warning, of warning the world, for we are to be witnesses of Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. The nice thing about this is not only should we be doing it now, it's legal to do now. Even in the nations where they're killing Christians, it's still kind of legal if you think about it. But eventually, I mean, when they catch up to you, they persecute or kill you, but eventually it's going to be illegal to do what we're doing. That's why they're going to try to shut us up with the enforcement of the mark, preventing us from buying and selling. But since we already got to the mindset of looking at money as monopoly money anyway, and we know our bread and waters are going to be sure, and we know even if they prevent us from getting on airplanes to travel or even a bus, we know what the Lord did with Philip when he baptized the eunuch. We know that how he, directly after he baptized the eunuch saw him no more. He was just somewhere else where he needed to be. Let me get the next paragraph in here. And again, you can get this in selected messages as well. Page 190, paragraph, I think page 199. paragraph 3, and then page 190, verse paragraph 1, is what I'm going to be sharing now. All right? And this is what this says. All around us are the young, the impenitent, the unconverted. And what are we doing for them? Parents, in the ardor of your first love, are you seeking for the conversion of your children? Or are you engrossed with the things of this life to such an extent that you're not making earnest efforts to be laborers together with God? And there's a lot of parents here with young kids, praise God. Some that should be here and aren't. See how the enemy did that? Some of the people that fell out during the situation where we couldn't finish communion didn't come back in. At least some of the names I'm looking for aren't here. Maybe they're on WTPR, I hope and pray. But those numbers aren't where they were half an hour ago. The enemy will figure out any way. Like, say, for example, you know, some people stay home from church because they get up on, you know, Sabbath morning. And like if you had a brick-and-mortar church and they figure, hey, a little bit under the weather, I'll just blow it off this week. And there was a sermon specifically for you. You didn't know that, but the enemy of souls did. Or look at how easy it is for us. You can literally get up in the morning, be sick as a dog, but roll over and click a key on your keyboard, you're in church. But still, some people will go, you know, I don't feel so good. I'm not going to even, you know, go in. And there was a sermon just for you. She says, do you have an appreciation of the work and mission of the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is the agency whereby we are to reach the souls of those around us? When this meeting shall close, will you go from here and forget the earnest appeals that have been made to you? Oh, I love the way she says this, because this is not time sensitive. She could say that then, and it would cut hearts, and we can echo what she's saying today, and it should cut hearts today. Will the messages of warning be left unheeded, and the truth you have heard leak out of your heart as water leaks out of a broken vessel? Wow. The way she writes. It's just, well, you know, it's the Holy Spirit doing that. Okay, the next paragraph is paragraph 2, obviously. Still Review and Herald, you know, the March 22nd thing, 1892. She says, the apostle says, and she's quoting from Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, Paul is saying, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And then she goes on to say here, and this is where I'll finish it, and this is again Review and Herald, May 22nd, 1892, now it's paragraph 3 of page 190 of Selected Messages, volume 1. It says, the third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry. And again, this is in 1894. It's screaming loud now. And it's going to be the prophesied loud cry soon. I mean, the latter rain is already sprinkling. Some of us are seeing, like I was mentioning last night, some of us are starting to see and hear and feel things from the Lord. Well, maybe I should strike that feel thing, because the enemy likes to jump around in the flesh. So ignore that. You're going to be hearing things and discerning things. And being, and the Lord's going to be revealing things as you're reading his word, or when you're in prayer, you'll hear the still small voice or the thought voice, or you'll be gently nudged when you read a certain passage in the Bible. It's something different's happening. Remember a few years ago when we were gathering at a camp meeting, all of us were saying something big's about to happen. We didn't know what it was. We all knew something big time was going to happen. And before we could do the next camp meeting, guess what happened? The plandemic. And we couldn't do a camp meeting for 2 years. No one would let us go to any campground. All of them were closed. I mean, you would think even if they were, they should be open unless you wear masks, but, yeah, I would think most of us weren't going to wear them anyway. So she says here that the third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry, and you must not feel at liberty to neglect the present duty and still entertain the idea that at some future time you'll be the recipient of a great blessing. And again, this is what a lot of people think. The mindset of those that believe in a secret rapture or a seven-year trib. And the seven-year trib is obviously for those that know they're not going to be ready for their so-called secret rapture. They figure, oh, phew, now I got 7 years to get my life right when I see all these crazy Christians, Bible thumpers, disappear, and I'll have 7 years to get right with God. You ain't going to have 7 nanoseconds because that prophecy doesn't exist. It's like I say in the seven-year trib page or even the secret rapture page. I believe that false prophecy is Satan's last trick he's going to play on mankind, where billions of Christians are going to, you know, fall for it. So again, some still entertain the idea that at some future time you will be the recipients of a great blessing, when without any effort on your part, a wonderful revival will take place. That's not Christianity. That's what she's saying. You know, many of us don't seem to realize that we got to roll the stone away ourselves and let Christ take it from there. And for those that are you are new, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he could have very easily rolled that stone away or had the angels do it, because that's what happened the day he resurrected. When Jesus arose, that stone was rolled away by an angel. But he didn't roll it away when he raised Lazarus, did he? He sent the apostles up there, roll that stone away. In other words, you do what you can do, and I'll take it from here. Because they're not going to be able to raise Lazarus yet, because he had not yet given them that understanding. Even more so until, of course, after he ascends. I'm sure he sent out the 70, two by two, but the thing with what happened on Pentecost wasn't going to be a done deal for a while. And so they rolled away the stone. He took it from there. It's like some people that are having problems with alcohol, cigarettes, porn, whatever the case may be. You roll that stone away. You say, oh, I'm trying to quit. No, you're not. Just plain quit. And then when he realizes in your heart that you made that decision to quit, guess what? He'll make you an instant non-drinker, non-smoker, or one who doesn't get into porn or whatever else that's out there that's attacking Christians. Because you'll notice, that's where Satan focuses. A lot of people that fall for porn are Christians. Because he knows what they were like before they became Christians. And he wants to get them back into that fun. But he calls fun, anyway. They forget all about the disease and all the other disgusting things that partake in certain things like that. Especially when with certain forms of fun, as he calls it. It's downright gross. So she goes on, today you are to give yourselves to God. Now she didn't say next week or 20 years from now. She said today, just like the Word of God says, today is the day of salvation. Today you are to give yourselves to God, that he may make you vessels unto honor and meet for his service. If you don't start doing it now, and you're waiting for some special sign, you're the ones that he was talking about when he says of that evil, wicked generation that always seeks after a sign. You know what's right to do. You know you should stop doing this, or you know you should start doing something else, that being for the Lord. Because if he sees you doing it, he knows he can trust you when you have to go forth and do it. And a loud cry. Today, you are to give yourself to God, that you may be emptied of self, emptied of envy, jealousy, evil surmising, strife, everything that shall be dishonoring to God. Today you are to have your vessel purified, that it may be ready for the heavenly dew, ready for the showers of the latter rain. Wow. For the latter rain will come, and the blessing of God will fill every soul that is purified from every defilement. It is our work today to yield our souls to Christ, that we may be fitted for the time of refreshing, that's the latter rain, from the presence of the Lord. Fitted for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Lord gave me this. I completely forgot she was going to talk about the latter rain in here. This locks this down as being a message specifically for us, because the latter rain did not fall in her day. It falls in our day. So this is specifically for us. We have to get busy before it starts raining. Oh, man, praise His name. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.